Well, it's a wonderful Saturday. It's the big weekend Saturday, and Katie Dore is on her first... No, it's actually your second official location report for Midweek Drive.
It is indeed.
And where are we, Katie?
We are at the Students' Union at Manchester Metropolitan University at the first Starburst International Film Festival.
Now, already we've said a quick hello to Adrian Regglesford and indeed Ed Fortune. Charlie Ross has just actually hosted the first event that we've actually attended on this day two of the film festival. And that first event was what?
It was a talk by Peter Beale, the unknown story of Star Wars, the making of Star Wars.
Filmmaker, author and speaker. We'll hopefully be grabbing a few words with Peter in a few seconds from now. He's actually just coming out as we speak from that point of view. Peter, shall we do this little piece now? You're still...
Yes.
Excuse me. Peter, first of all, congratulations. A really outstanding talk there. Really enjoyed it.
That was very generous of you to say so.
I think that, and Katie Dore, my colleague here, I think also quite an insight into the whole production process.
Absolutely. Really fascinating to hear the sort of the hidden story behind the scenes of the making of the film.
What sort of things did you find interesting?
Particularly your role in terms of the negotiating that you had to do, the people management side of things, in terms of getting the artists together to sort of bringing their vision and some quite disparate visions together, it sort of struck me as...
The art of diplomacy, and also one of our other great friends and colleagues who's here as well, television director Graham Harper. He also did some of his work with 2001 back in the day. I thought it was fascinating, that wonderful slice of late 20th century history, because Britain really did some outstanding stuff there.
Yes. Still does.
Absolutely. I was particularly intrigued in terms of, we look back, obviously, David Lean, our regular film critic, Richard Fitzwilliams, Lawrence of Arabia, is his number one movie of all time. When we look back at that wonderful cultural artefact, and here we are, obviously, at the Manchester Film Festival, etc., where does Star Wars sit from your own perspective in terms of how that works through the process?
I don't understand the question.
How would you position Star Wars with respect to cinematic history, with respect to some of the other aspects that you've done?
If you're looking at pure cinema, I think that Lawrence was probably the most perfect film. And I think in many ways, Zhivago's not far off it. But as far as entertainment, I think Star Wars is the number one as an entertainment factor.
And Maurice Jarre contrasted with John Williams?
Oh, Maurice Jarre was very interesting, because Maurice Jarre was originally the orchestrator for the American composer.
Henry Mancini? No?
No, it was...
We'll find it out. We'll look it up later.
You probably won't know about it, because it wasn't known. Famous musicals. Two people. Rodgers and Hammerstein.
There you are. Katie's always there. Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Rodgers and Hammerstein were going to do... I think it was Hammerstein was going to do the music. And Maurice Jarre had been hired as an orchestrator. And he was working in Berkeley Street, 14 Berkeley Street, in one of the Horizon Films offices. And David had heard some rough tracks from Hammerstein, and he felt that they were two characteristics of sort of American version of Arab. And he was walking through, and there was Maurice Jarre was sitting at a piano. He said, "Mr. Lean, may I play this for you?" And he played what became the Lawrence theme at the piano, and David turned to Sam Spiegel and said, "That's our composer." Sam was very worried, because he wanted a star composer, and Maurice was an orchestrator. And that's how Maurice got the job and made that wonderful score.
See, this, Peter, is why you must come along to join us at the University of Lincoln for one of our guest speaking sessions, etc., because the font of knowledge from that point of view. Peter, this is the first Starburst International Film Festival. What are your thoughts over the event itself?
I think it's going to be great. Any festival takes time to get going, but the enthusiasm of the people is wonderful. It's my first time to Manchester, and I'm very impressed with Manchester. A lot going on here that's very interesting. And so I think that the Starburst people have done a fantastic job.
I know that many of the Starburst crew were very, very excited when we did radio pieces with them before the thing about your coming today. So it's absolutely been a joy. And I'm sorry I missed the metaphysical one yesterday, but that's the Force wasn't with us from that point of view.
Well, the Force is with you. You just don't know. You haven't found out yet. The Force is with all of us, and it is the Force that is the real genius of Star Wars. And it is the important part of Star Wars. And if you want to know how to contact it, I'll tell you.
I think we'll have to follow that through. Any final questions, Katie?
I just wanted to thank you for such a fascinating talk today. It really was an absolute joy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So having just seen the shadow of Adrian Wrigglesford once again fly by, fantastic, we can actually guarantee that, as promised in our earlier piece, Katie, the legend that is Ed Fortune, crew Ed Fortune, and key sequential storytelling editor for Starburst magazine, is with us. How are you, Ed?
I'm well. It's been a very busy week, so yeah, well.
Were you in Germany on Thursday?
I was in Poland.
So my email about Germany, clearly you would have thought, what the heck's happening here,
Deutschland? Well, I was in Munich for a very short while. So I wasn't in Germany because I was in Munich, and then I was in Poland as well, so it was a bit of a mad dash. That will be revealed in forthcoming issues of Starburst magazine, what we were up to. But yeah, that was quite fun, it was quite interesting.
Well, I've always said that Jordan Rice was wanting to take the Danzig corridor for Starburst magazine, so presumably you were actually the first foray into that, really, for the Sudetenland and Lebensraum.
Well, if it involves subterranean vampires and monstrous trees, then maybe. But I think that's all I can say right now.
We will say no more. But you brought another fantastic Starburster along with us. That, of course, is the fabulous Kieran Moore. The Kieran Moore.
The very one. Hello.
No relation to Roger. Just wanted to clarify that.
No, he's not my uncle or anything. Sadly.
Now, the latest edition of Starburst magazine is Star Trek Spectacular. All worked through. That always nice to see. Although, as I was saying to Katie, I must admit, I thought Livy Boot possibly did a bit of sub-editing there. But as we sort of move away here, we're here at the Starburst International Film Festival. Day two. It's looking good.
So far, my highlight is Papier-Mâché Baldur. It's an amazing movie. If you've not seen it, we've got the guy who's flown all the way from New Zealand to actually present the movie as well. It's a Kiwi movie, and Papier-Mâché Baldur obviously is a Star Trek reference.
We actually did a feature with the very same New Zealander whose name escapes me at Sci-Fi London earlier this year. I saw the movie with Louis Savvy. It is an outstanding movie. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. Great fun. If you love classic sci-fi, it's full of every reference from Blake Seven to the most obscure kind of 1950s style movie that you've seen.
Kieran, have you seen this Papier-Mâché Baldur is actually really right heavy?
I have seen it. I saw it yesterday. It's so funny. The audience were all laughing throughout. One of the highlights of the festival so far, definitely.
It went down a storm at Sci-Fi London, which I know is another festival, but we wanted to sort of mention that from that point of view. One minor sort of caveat, I'd say. Allow yourself time to build, because the first 20 minutes you think, what is this? Once they actually go into colour, it's a whole new world.
Yeah, it's one of those slow burner geeky movies. Sit down, have a pizza and a drink and enjoy. But yeah, we've had all sorts of odd movies so far.
We'll just hold fire with respect to that. Kieran, Katie and Kieran. Katie, any questions for Kieran that you'd like to sort of put together at this stage?
What coming up over the next day and tomorrow of the festival are you most looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to the Doctor Who talks. We've got Toby Whithouse here, Philip Martin, Graham Harper. They're all kind of big names in the Doctor Who fandom, so they should have some interesting things to say.
Well, Graham, of course, goes back to this gentleman here who's just coming along, Adrian Wrigglesford. Again, he's going to pass us by, who wrote the Harper classics. But in fact, it was Graham who introduced us to Adrian back in the 1980s. It's a small world, probably before you were born, Kieran.
That was before I was born, yeah. I'm a 90s kid.
So share with us your contributions to Starburst magazine. See Katie proudly clutching the latest edition upon her person. How did you get involved with the magic of Starburst?
I've been writing for Starburst for 3 years now. I joined when Chris Hayes was the editor. I did an internship in their offices, actually, over summer 2013. And since then, I've been writing reviews, doing the Doctor Who news column, and I'm an editorial assistant as well. So I proof everyone's spelling, make sure everything's all the commas are in the right places.
I was just sort of commenting a bit about Livy Boot, who normally I love and she's great, but I thought she had a couple of factual inaccuracies in her overview this time of Star Trek. That's all. The DeForest Kelly name actually does appear in the second and third seasons. I'm sorry, I'm being a pedant. It's a great magazine. Katie, Doctor Who, this is obviously a go-to person.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Any thoughts from your good self with respect to the Who? Amazingly enough, Katie has actually done cosplay as Karen Gillan, and indeed, it's difficult to sell, really, isn't it?
I probably should have come in cosplay today, I don't know.
We're all right. I mean, Kieran, I've got to ask you the question. In terms of the shocking view that we actually have of the wrestler, I mean, I was expecting Starburst magazines, etc. We have a half-naked man standing outside. What's it all about? Oh, Ed, welcome back, by the way.
I would consider wrestling to be one of the geek sports. Andrew Pollard, who's one of our online editors.
It's not Andrew Pollard in the briefs, is it?
No, it's not.
No, right.
He would look fantastic, though, I'm sure. I would say roller derby and wrestling are two of the things that you find at these things, because there's so much crossover. And when you think about it, wrestling is all about storytelling and amazing costumes. And
yeah, it's not real. You mean Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mick McManus and Giant Haystacks are not genuine sort of athletes?
Oh, no, it's completely real. It's just that wrestling isn't wrestling. And if you haven't seen Wrestling Isn't Wrestling by Max Landis, you should watch it, and then you will never go, it's not real again, and you'll get an idea as to what it is. It's on YouTube if you've not seen it.
We just briefly return to Kieran, because Emma Timpson and myself sort of wandered the sacred pathway from the Fab Cafe to the Starburst offices back in February. And a wonderful scenario, and indeed, Ed, you were with us at that time, really, and Emma got a first-class honours degree as a result.
Oh, well, happy to help.
Exactly. See, other science fiction magazines might sort of claim to help students. Starburst actually does. It's fantastic stuff there. But as you've seen the show develop over the years, when the first idea of this film festival came through, what were your thoughts, Kieran?
I thought it was a fantastic idea. I mean, I first heard the idea kind of floated about a couple of years ago. I think Starburst over the past few years has been building from strength to strength, selling more and more magazines each month, and I think this year the time was right. We're just about big enough to start launching something as ambitious as this, and it has been a very ambitious plan for this festival. Over the past few months, I know the editors and Shauna and everyone in the office have been working really hard to put this thing together. But it's great to see it all come together.
Well, as Ed will attest to, the only sort of slight caveat I'd actually say is, and Katie will agree, we need an East Coast Lincoln thing to obviously echo that as well.
It would be great to see more events everywhere, but of course Lincoln's got the Asylum this weekend.
Yeah, but we were out of it, you see. We made that decision. We said no to steampunk, no to the fact that it's the world's biggest steampunk festival, but big yes to the Starburst International Film Festival.
Absolutely.
Yes, so it's great fun so far, and it should be bigger and better next year. It'll build and build and build over the years.
Very impressed with the talk we saw earlier by Peter Beale, of course. I should catch up a few words with Peter. He's doing sort of wonderful duties from that perspective. You've got a nice little balance here, and certainly, as Kira was saying, from the Who perspective, nice balance between classic and contemporary.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something here for every kind of sci-fi fan, really. Classic Who, New Who, lots of other TV shows like Inside Number 9, which I'm a big fan of, and classic and new films as well.
And finally, as we sort of begin to wrap up, I was sharing with Katie my sort of personal favourite Doctor Who episodes. In no particular order, but in terms of emotional impacts, the Girl in the Fireplace.
Yeah, the Doomsday episode.
Doomsday episode, and also I'd probably sort of give thumbs up to School Reunion as sort of classics. Plus, of course, maybe Caves of Androzani. What about yourself?
Myself? Well, for me, the first Doctor I watched was Christopher Eccleston, and he is my Doctor for me.
Family Day or Father's Day?
Father's Day, I love. Rose, I'm a big fan of. And that first finale, Bad Wolf, The Parting of the Ways, is just, it's kind of my comfort Who. It's the series I can go back to whenever I need something to watch.
And Ed?
Midnight, Blink, and Love and Monsters are my three new Whos, because Love and Monsters is a great one, because you can start a fight. And Classic Who, where do I start?
Where does one start? I mean, exactly. Maybe Two and the Cyberman.
Two and the Cyberman's a good start. I'm fond of Earthshock, partially because Adric dies, but not really. Spoiler alert. Spoiler for something that's like 30 years old. There's too many. There's too many. You kind of, Logopolis is one of my favourite ones because the Master's Plan makes no sense. And I love that.
And the classic, of course, you know, it's the moment has been prepared for. The Starburst International Film Festival has arrived.
It has indeed. I'm expecting... There is a strange man dressed only in white wandering around. I don't know what that's about.
He's watching something, no pun intended. Ed and Kieran, many thanks indeed. Good luck with the rest of the session. I'm sure we'll catch up later on today with Graham, assuming you can locate the venue. Really good stuff. Web address, how can people get in touch with Starburst and subscribe online and so on?
www.starburstmagazine.com. You can contact us by clicking the button that says contact. You can also get subscribe to all of our podcasts, including Brave New Words, by clicking the button that says podcasts.
Finally, Katie, it can be said that the legend from Scotland has arrived. I know William Coles is a wonderful Edinburgh correspondent on a weekly basis, but he's not Scottish. He might live there, but he's not Scottish. But Charlie Ross is back with us. Charlie, how are you?
Hey, no one who's Scottish lives in Edinburgh. We just pretend they do. It's lovely to speak to you again, Alec. How are you?
Well, when I saw you launch the first session of the second day of the Starburst International Film Festival, I thought, it's Charlie Ross. Did I not say, Katie, it's Charlie Ross?
You did indeed.
And there we are. I even felt sort of moved to actually even ask a question. Charlie, it looks as though the buzz is very much here. It's the first ever Starburst International Film Festival. We've spoken, obviously, to Ed Fortune and Kieran and some of the rest of the guys. We spoke to Jordan Royce about it. It's looking good, isn't it?
It is. I'm very excited. I used to get Starburst religiously when I was a kid, and I remember, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I remember the first edition, and I used to buy it all the time. Buy it maybe intermittently now, but I'm going to start getting it again. It's a fantastic magazine. It's been saved from the brink a few years ago by Mike and the gang, and they've done a fantastic job, and this is the first film festival, and it's going really, really well.
Katie, it's time to share your Starburst narrative, please.
Yeah, it's the first magazine I ever had put by for me at my local newsagent with my name on it, and yeah.
Yes, I did. They used to write my name in pencil at the top, very courteously writing in pencil, just in case you wanted to rub it out and keep it in pristine condition.
Exactly.
So yeah,
exactly.
So quality stuff there. Now, what's your role within the festival, apart from obviously being the Charlie Ross? Have we got stand-up comedy? Have we got anything else from that perspective lined up?
No stand-up this time. I'm emceeing the event and doing a couple of interviews. I'm very excited. I'm interviewing Graham Harper and Phil Collinson later about the episode Doomsday. We're doing a kind of running commentary, and tomorrow I'm interviewing the legendary Bond director John Glenn, who's directed 5 James Bond movies, and you guys know full well my affinity with James Bond.
Charlie Ross.
That's the one, yes. They even had my own theme tune at one point.
We did indeed have that in your sort of regular slots. We'll have to rewrite those.
Yeah, exactly. So very excited to do that. We're going to talk predominantly about License to Kill, which is his favourite one, but I'm sure we'll get on to some of the other ones he's worked on. He's worked in some fantastic Bond movies.
Of course, the classic thing with License to Kill are the very much underestimated, undervalued, I think, Timothy Dalton duo of movies with both License to Kill and Living Daylights.
Well, in much the same way as on Her Majesty's Secret Service, history has been very, very kind to those two movies, and maybe not well received at the time, very unfairly. But for License to Kill, I mean, it probably was the case that it was a huge leap in terms of it didn't tick all usual boxes for a Bond movie. They made a big, big step. And oddly enough, it wasn't...
Felix Leiter lost his legs.
Well, yeah, but oddly enough, 16 years later, they kind of did that with Casino Royale. They rebooted it in that way. They made it darker. They made it more
Daniel Craig had his testicle. No, I won't go there.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it's... they were kind of... Maybe they were just ahead of the... Oh. Maybe they're just ahead of their time.
Talking about Bond and automatically the stunt motorcyclist startup outside the streets of Manchester.
We had that arranged, of course, that was all set up. They were pretty much ahead of their time, which was good. And you can understand why it's John's favourite, because they probably got to push the envelope a little bit more instead of doing the formulaic stuff that they had a little bit become that way in the 80s. Still a lot of fun, but they've become very much a formula.
Also a great theme tune by Gladys Knight.
Yeah, and one of the ones that was a big hit as well. It was a surprise hit for Gladys
with
Knight.
Sam this year, I'm sorry, but Sam Inspector, probably the weakest Bond theme ever.
Yeah, I thought it was dreadful. I think it was just he said he wrote it in 20 minutes, and boy did it sound like it. See you next time, Sam. Spend a bit more time on it, please.
Exactly, the message gets across. Katie, any questions for Charlie?
What's been your highlight so far?
Listening to Peter Beale this morning, who was one of the executive producers, was fundamental in bringing us a little film called Star Wars in 1977. And boy, are we glad that he did, and that he seemed to... Also, it's frightening to hear how close it came to not happening, and how close it came to even having a plug pulled at the last minute. You know that
Star Wars,
yeah,
surely
yeah.
not. Focus groups, the bane of our lives.
Yeah, don't listen to focus groups. Don't, just go with your instincts, and you know, that's it's a cautionary tale, and one that we should all pay attention to. Don't do things by committee. If you believe in something, go with it, you know, and try and have trust in that, and people around you will trust you.
And I think actually what we've got here with the festival, which includes obviously Ray Harryhausen, Doctor Who, Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek, obviously not here, but celebrated in the current edition of Starburst, etc. Yeah, that is the case. You've got to stick to your dream.
Yes, exactly, and I think a lot of the people here are testament to that. And you look at Hammer Horror, that's been represented here, and these are all areas of genre that were people who had faith in what they wanted to do and had a very clear vision of what they wanted to do, and that comes across in the work that they did. Did they always get it right? No. Sometimes the Bond movies didn't quite get it right, but you know what they did was they stuck to their guns and learned from their mistakes and built on it, and that's why the likes of the horror genre is still here, sci-fi is still here, James Bond's still here. There's a reason we still go and see those movies, because the people who are doing it know what they're doing.
Katie.
Oh, well, it's a testament, isn't it, to people's passion and their imagination, I suppose. So, yeah.
As we see a lot here is passion, and you see it from the customers as well, the audience members. They're very passionate about this, whatever it is they're interested in, be it Doctor Who or Hammer Horror or James Bond. They're very passionate about it and they believe firmly in it. But I think that passion comes from the people who make it, that they get that, they draw the energy from that, and that's why there's an incredible loyalty attached to this kind of entertainment, because you know the other films, comedy franchises, whatever, loyalty will come and go. There doesn't seem to be that same passion for it, and I think that's what it is. It's a shared passion because we're all into the same stuff. Even the people who are making it are into the same stuff.
Still to come, of course, we've got the unveiling once again of new Thunderbirds material, which is fantastic stuff there. We've already touched base with David Graham, and clearly Jamie Anderson would be devastated if we didn't actually go from that perspective. Graham Harper we'll probably actually see on stage, because I think Adrian Wrigglesford said he was going to collect Graham. He's lost him somewhere on the line. I think he's up in all sorts of ways. But we'll catch up with you then, Graham. Charlie, and we look forward to obviously seeing you host a sensational, which I know I say that quite deliberately, be a sensational panel. And will you be back and join us telephonically at least on the Midweek Drive?
Absolutely. It'd be fantastic to come and join you, not a problem.
Well, the news is we haven't as yet managed to track Graham Harper down, but so far we've had an extraordinarily wonderful experiencing both Katie Manning in conversation, and just recently the three brand new episodes of Thunderbirds, followed by a brief audience presentation by Stephen LaRiviera, and indeed David Graham. Your thoughts so far on the event, Katie?
Oh, I thought the Thunderbirds episodes are an absolute highlight, absolutely brilliant recreations of the original series from the mini albums.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I'd actually heard before was the Introducing Thunderbirds, and that sort of seemed to match it quite well. But there is a kind of magic to the whole thing that I think is to the series' credit. And of course, British Telefantasy, Doctor Who, Thunderbirds, and of course, Star Wars earlier this morning.
Absolutely. One thing that keeps coming up today is people doing what they're really passionate about, and people who are really committed to what they love, and in this case, sort of creating new episodes, which is fantastic.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on location at the first ever Starburst International Film Festival. We'll hopefully have a chat with Graham Harper. If not today, then at some other time in the near future. Great news, Katie, because the pinnacle of our little sojourn here in Manchester for the first ever Starburst International Film Festival is about to be accomplished. We've finally connected with our ace Midweek Drive, Graham Harper, BAFTA award winning, of course.
We have indeed. Hooray!
Now, Katie, one of the things you shared with me about the Unicorn and the Wasp, which I think is worth sharing once again with Graham and our listener, because it is, as well as Doomsday, one of those Doctor Who episodes you always like to put on when you're feeling a little bit blue.
Yeah, if I'm feeling a little bit down in the dumps, the Unicorn and the Wasp never fails to cheer me up. It's just joyful. It's absolutely wonderful. And if you've never seen it and you're feeling a bit down, find it, put it on. It will make you smile, I promise.
I think it's making me think of the very first shots we did with of the episode with Catherine Tate and the Doctor, who suddenly appear around a corner looking at a grand estate of a wonderful old house and what was about to happen there, and the cheekiness of her face and his little happiness of having this new assistant with him is absolutely magical. So you've made me remember that. It's brilliant.
We've just been privileged to actually see both yourself and the wonderful Scottish PA Charlie Ross and the even more wonderful producer Phil Collinson talk us through with a live DVT backing commentary. And I have to say, really insightful, almost a director's masterclass, or indeed a programme maker's masterclass. So well done.
Thank you very much. I didn't say a lot, though, did I? He did.
Look, Phil, we'll have the opportunity, I'm sure, through your good self, to join us on one of our radio shows.
Yes.
But as yet, you know, we'll work through that. Because
we could do it together. That would be fun, actually.
I think we should. We can talk Coronation Street.
We could talk progression onto Coronation Street, absolutely. No, because he's a great
raconteur.
Thank you. Oh, all right. Smarty pants.
close.
Katie, thoughts from yourself?
Well, it was fascinating to hear you sort of talk us through Doomsday. But would you ever do one of a live commentary for some of the Classic Era episodes that you've done?
I have done that, and I was accused by fandom of not speaking very much, but that probably was because somebody else was doing all the talking, and maybe that I couldn't really add to it. I'm sorry for that, but yes is the answer. Although I only did two, so I did two and worked on about six or seven other stories of other directors who, when I was an assistant director. But I did two, and I think I've done commentaries on both.
And what's your favourite of all the Doctor Who moments you've filmed so far? What's been your favourite?
I suppose every episode has had something special that I really enjoyed about, and I enjoyed doing Doctor Who because it's action-adventure to me, which I love. To be honest, the biggest memory, two memories. One is the romantic parting of Doctor and Billy Piper character.
Rose Tyler.
Is the biggest because it has such an emotional tie after having worked through all the action and the adventure that they were together with in my episodes and for the rest of the episodes. I found that the most beautiful and memorable. And the second is a scene in a kitchen with Catherine Tate and David Tennant talking about anchovies.
The poison scene in The Unicorn and the Wasp.
It was absolutely stunning, brilliant to shoot and brilliant to watch, and to watch two professionals just give that fantastic piece of comedy in such a story as Doctor Who, I thought was brilliant. So those are the two biggest memories, but there are many, many action, many wonderful moments in all of them for me.
And what do you want to direct next?
Well, I'm really desperate to make a Western. But I actually have done my Western by doing Robin Hood, so I've probably a movie with lots of comedy.
We started off the day by learning all about some of the backdrop to the opening Star Wars movie with Peter Beale, producer on the real making of Star Wars. And I think Peter gave us some interesting insights in terms of the British science fiction scene in particular, that obviously focus groups don't help. If you actually put together Star, people think about space opera and various other things, put together Wars, think of Vietnam, Star Wars should never have been made. But the fact is, science fiction has something to offer the audience, as Doctor Who's demonstrated, as Thunderbirds has demonstrated, even as Starburst magazine demonstrates, and of course, let's not forget, Space Cops. Star Cops.
Star Cops. Yeah, again, I think the secret of Star Cops, and a pity it's not still, you know, hasn't, did not continue after one series, was the heart and soul of the performances of the four or five main characters. Because I think they brought real life to a fictitious and quite real, I suppose, because it was always based within knowledge of outer space that we know and equipment that was used and is still used to this day. At the time it was made, it was projecting 30 years from now in space. And I think that and the heart and soul of the characters, which is the same with Doctor Who and all the science fiction stories, as long as the real stories and the, not the real story, as long as the stories and the heart and soul of each artist comes through, I think you will have a fantastic series.
And relating back to Who, of course, Chris Chibnall takes over shortly. There's going to be a whole new era.
I think that's really, really good news. A very, very clever writer, and I'm sure he'll make a great showrunner.
This is good stuff, because obviously we weren't sure, will we get Broadchurch Series 1 or Broadchurch Series 2, or will we get dinosaurs on a spaceship? Or it has actually sort of split, I think, many of the potential fans of Who.
It has, but I think, you know, we should have faith definitely.
Have faith in Chris Chibnall.
And let's have faith in the dinosaurs he might bring.
What are you referring to yourself there, Graham? You're not a dinosaur. No, you're far too young for that.
I was thinking really of ancient dinosaurs. How wonderful. Are you calling me ancient?
No, of course not. You mentioned the heart and soul. Of course, the heart and soul of the Midweek Drive and indeed Sirena FM and Southside Broadcasting, yourself and Bernadette. And hopefully you'll both be able to join us at the Harrogate Spring Autumn Flower Show, I should say, in a few weeks' time.
I hope we do, yes. Weather be permitting and we're still here.
Is that a possibility, Bernadette, a journey up to Harrogate?
Yes, I would think so.
Graham Harper and Bernadette Harper, again, absolute joy. Katie, have you enjoyed the day?
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charles. It's absolute pleasure for me too.